Hi, and welcome to Moving Through Motherhood, a podcast for mums who want to move more mindfully through all stages of motherhood, including pregnancy, postnatal, and beyond. I'm Jen Mazur, founder of Mum's Yoga Club, and I'm here to support you in motherhood through conversations about movement, mindset, motivation, and so much more. So let's get started with today's episode. Hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast. I'm delighted this week to be joined by Kim Hartwell to talk about all things nervous system in motherhood and how we can regulate that nervous system. Kim is a wellness expert with over 10 years of experience in personal training, yoga, breathwork, and nervous system regulation. After experiencing postnatal burnout and embarking on a journey of self-realignment, she's now dedicated to empowering mothers to heal from overwhelm and rediscover their identity. Through movement, breath, and inner work, she helps mums regulate their nervous systems, rewire limiting patterns, and realign with their authentic selves, enabling them to thrive in motherhood and beyond. And as a thank you for listening today, Kim is offering all of you 30% off her signature course, Burnout to Balanced Mama. And this is her signature course all about nervous system regulation and everything we talk about today. And the link to find out more about that course is in the show notes, so head over now. So enjoy today's episode. It's a great conversation. I love talking to Kim, and yeah, it was such a valuable, insightful chat. So enjoy. Start your 7-day free trial on Mum's Yoga Club, the online membership, today. With unlimited yoga and meditation for pregnancy, postnatal, and beyond, as a listener to the podcast, you get an exclusive 20% off a monthly or annual membership when you use the code POD20. That's POD20. That's less than £4 a week for unlimited yoga. So come and join our community of mums moving through motherhood together. Join Mum's Yoga Club, the online membership, today using the link in the show notes. See you on the mat. Hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited today to be joined by Kim Hartwell. Kim, thank you for joining me. How are you today?
I'm good, and thank you so much for having me. This is such an important topic and conversation for mums, I think. So thank you for sharing the space with me.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to dive into all of this. So we are going to be chatting all about the nervous system with you. Should we just quickly chat about what the nervous system actually is for anyone listening? Like, this sounds quite scientific. What is it in a nutshell?
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm going to try not to do the boggling thing, because you really don't need to know all of the ins and outs of nervous system work. We just kind of need the simple stuff, especially as mums. So just in a, like, as a very global kind of look at it, our nervous systems is basically like your command center. So it's like how we our tolerance to stress is like, how we react to our environment, how we regulate our emotions. And basically, I'm gonna go out on a whim and say it's literally probably the most important thing that we could learn as mums, but also humans, because I kind of got into this work and was just like, oh my God, like how have we not addressed this before? Because it's going to impact absolutely every single thing you do. And if your body is feeling like it's in survival mode, which, if you're sending certain signals to your nervous system or your environment that you're in, then you're never really going to be able to thrive. And I think that's why it's so important to really kind of understand and get some awareness of this.
Yeah, definitely. You touched on it a little bit there. So how does the nervous system support us in our well-being, especially as mums? What ways will it show up if maybe that nervous system is out of balance?
This is the thing. So I think the best way to describe it, I talked to my mums about what I call the mountain of motherhood. And I want you to think about the idea of a window of tolerance, which is by someone called Dan Segal. And basically, you have this window of our tolerance to stress. And so basically, if you're in what we call regulation, it's kind of more kind of that connected, grounded state, you're going to feel like you're in a place where you're making better decisions. You're probably not as reactive to your kids. You're probably more in alignment with how you want to be as a person, as a human. You're probably quite social. And obviously that sounds wonderful, but we can't always stay in that place. We're not meant to always stay in this like regulated state. We always go in and out of our kind of survival mode. So we've got our fight or flight mode, and we've got our freeze response as well. And then we have a ventral shutdown. And the reason why I'm bringing up what I call the mountain of motherhood is because I want you to imagine that if you go above your window of tolerance, which is what we kind of call this hyper aroused state, is when you're in your fight or flight. And I want you to imagine that you're at the top of a mountain and you're in that kind of place where you're not at the summit and you're really struggling to put one foot in front of the other, but you're still do. I must do something to survive here. And you're probably kind of gasping for breath, but these avalanches of kind of emotions going on. You're very, very reactive. And that's what you're like when you're in your fight or flight mode. So if you're in these states, you're going to feel like you're quite overreactive to situations. Like you've probably felt them, like I have, is that, you know, your kid's done something and it's been this accumulation of things that have built up over time. Probably not necessarily to do with your kid, but you've overreacted, or you see everything as, you know, you're comparing yourself to other people, or I don't know. That's where we're kind of in that fight or flight response. And then if you go and think about the bottom of your mountain, which it would be below your window of tolerance, which I call is your freeze response, I want you to imagine like you've fallen into a crevasse. So it's like when you're stuck and you really can't get out. So your body's saying, I want to do something, but I feel stuck and I don't know how to. And it's like that idea of your body starts to shut down, you kind of get a bit more numb, you kind of get this sense where your body's trying to preserve your energy. And in mum kind of in a respect to mums, you kind of feel like you don't really want to go out in the morning. Like you feel like you're, you know, just really clawing yourself out of bed and just like dreading the next day. It's, you know, it's a hard place to be in. And yeah, if we're thinking about that regulation, we're in the middle of that window and we're in that kind of space that I like to call more like base camp. So it's like where we're feeling like our needs are being met, we've got all of our food supplies, we've got everything, our friends around, and you're kind of feeling that safety piece. And so the way we can look at this as mums and put that into context is when we're it, as mums, our nervous system are usually overstimulated. They're kind of thrown out and put in under this huge pressure. And so our window of tolerance is quite small. And so that space of being in that base camp doesn't always feel like a place that we can spend a lot of time in. So we're spending a lot of our time either gasping for breath, overbusying ourselves, doing a million different things to kind of fight or flight our way out of things, or we're falling down into that more frozen response. And the way that you can work with your nervous system is by starting to work with your environment, both internally and externally, to start to teach your system that you're in a place of safety and you're not needing to be in your survival responses, because we were never supposed to be in those survival responses for very long. So in this fight or flight or freeze response, we were literally supposed to be in them for about 15 minutes or so max, and then you'd come back and you'd come back to regulation and you'd find your kind of connected center. And what we're finding is that because mums particularly are always in these survival states, whichever one it is, you're kind of at that point where you create what we call an allostatic load, and it's where you just your body starts getting physical toll, emotional toll, mental toll. And if you keep going in these survival states long enough, you're going to burn out, which is exactly what I did.
Yeah, it's exactly what so many mums do. Because as you so well put there as well, it's, I guess before kids, it's a bit easier, isn't it, to take that step back and to just do those things that do soothe the nervous system and get you into that more restful state. But when you're a parent of young kids, there's so few moments naturally that are just there to take that time, isn't there? Is that why we find in motherhood particularly, a lot of women are mums are burnt out?
It's huge. And I think, like, actually, if you look at it in society generally, as well as mums, we are so pushed to be more, go. Like, you're not really allowed to be slow in our modern day society. And then you couple that with mums who are not coached through their idea of matrescence, that kind of transition from not being a mum to being a mum, and they're just hurled right in there. Couple that with them then having no sleep, they're not able to have the support systems that they should have had in place. They're not able to, you know, cook the proper nutrition they're able to have. They're feeling super overwhelmed. They're feeling a lack of support. They're not in their communities, which co-regulation is a huge piece for humans to be around other people. And you feel super isolated. And it's one of those things that it's when you look and you reflect, you're like, yeah, it seems very obvious why we're in this mess, but it's why I'm so passionate about helping mums, because there are things that we can do to help. But you have to start prioritizing yourself in that. So, as mums, you're so self-sacrificing. And it's one of those things that people are like, oh, try and get more sleep. We can't. Like, we don't have that option. Like, that is not our option. So, we have to think about how can we get rest in other ways. So, it's like the other forms of rest and how we balance ourselves and how we can challenge the narrative of the mum guilt as well, being like, you know, I am the best mother if I sacrifice every single part of me. But, you know, what we're seeing more and more, we're learning about things like mirror neurons, which is where the your child reflects your nervous system and your husband or your partner, whoever. So your what I found in my story was that we were all so dysregulated and we were just bouncing off each other. So this was like this vicious circle of dysregulation going on. And I couldn't see it at the time and it felt very, very hopeless. But I kind of fell into that trap of thinking a perfect mother needs to be the perfect mom all the time. I'm supposed to be really, really great at working and get my, mojo back for my business. I'm, any time I spend on myself is like a luxury. And I think that's where the problem starts with moms is that we are told that we're not worthy and that we don't matter. And it's like we go from these women that have had like incredible dreams and passions and the females are amazing. And it's like all of a sudden you're just boxed and told to keep calm, carry on, everything's fine. But it's like your whole entire world has changed. And they're like, okay, we'll just come back when you're ready to work, And this is the government, right? This is the UK, like society we live in. It's just we don't value mums enough. And it's so sad because I read a stat the other day and it was saying that 48% of mums feel like they're frequently or always burned out. That's half of mums. And I
That's
speak to mums
crazy.
all the time, and you will as well. We speak to mums all the time that there's not one mum I know that is like, do you know what? I feel like I'm really supported. I feel like I can get the nutrition I need, the rest I need. I feel valued. I feel like I can fill my cup up and then I can pour to other people. And so we kind of have to get this in-source our power again because you're taught to outsource it, you will be okay, just pay for this, pay for that, and then everything will be fine. But we kind of need to take that ownership back and be like, do you know what? No one else is looking after me, so I have to start putting me first. And knowing that that is going to only ever get you in more alignment, more aliveness with you and your family.
Absolutely. So it's kind of like, as you say, it's almost like we're expected to just take a few months off or however long that may be, and then just come back and return to normal. And even after probably, I mean, like me, you're a couple of years, a few years into motherhood now. It still doesn't feel like it did before you had kids. Like that, it doesn't go back to how it was. And it's, we have to, don't we, find those ways that work for us now. It's very easy to think, oh, I used to feel great when I used to do my hour and a half yoga class on a Tuesday. That may be possible for some people. It's not often possible for a lot of mums. So it's finding those ways that work with your lifestyle now. And this is why I'm so big on that little and often practice. I always think now for myself as well, I'd rather do 15 minutes a day than do 1 hour class once every 2 weeks. So kind of the point I'm trying to get to is, what are those little things we can do in this busy, demanding stage of motherhood that will support that nervous system? What do you find works?
Well, I think first of all, let's manage our expectations because I think that's one of the biggest thing is that we're expected to be amazing at work, be amazing at home, be amazing at the gym or whatever. And it's like managing expectations and really reflecting on like what time do you actually have to work with and just letting yourself surrender to the place where you're at and knowing that this is your season of your life. But that does not mean not worrying about it and putting yourself last. Like, so there's ways that we can slowly kind of get ourselves back to a place of more regulation because essentially when we're in this survival mode, you're not going to be able to make good decisions. You're not going to feel aligned. You're not going to feel alive in what you're doing. And so you really, the first port of call is just finding more regulation. And what we mean by finding more regulation is saying more often to our body that we're in a place of safety. You do not need to be in survival. And what we work towards is widening our window of tolerance. And when I'm talking about the mountain of motherhood, we're not talking about always staying at base camp, right? So it's like one of those things where we're not just going to be always, calm, collected, making every, right decision, but it's about widening so we can start to climb the mountain without feeling like we're having to gasp for air and feeling like we can process these emotions when they come up rather than being completely overwhelmed by them. So I would say the first place to start with is also kind of working out your rest forms. I found it really, really interesting to look at a study by someone called Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith. She talks about the seven forms of rest. And it's the idea that, especially as mums, if you can't get sleep and people are telling you to rest, it's really unhelpful. Also, what you'll probably find is in those periods of time when you're trying to rest, you probably can't rest because you're so stressed and you're feeling like you're in survival. So it's like, where can I get these other forms of rest in? So you've got your sensory needs, your social needs, your physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and creativity. So whether that looks like making sure you've got, I don't know, even a FaceTime in with your friend, even if you've got babies on your laps for like 15 minutes, just having that co-regulation piece, meeting up with friends for coffee and making sure that you're seeing other humans that feel safe to you, that you feel like you can belong with. Things like sensory overwhelm can be a really big one for mum. So is there a way that you can just start to simplify things in your house? Can you get, like, do more of a toy rotation so you get rid of some of the toys? Can you take the batteries out of the loud ones? Can you put some more calming music on rather than the crazy, YouTubey stuff? Can you all of this stuff that we it is actually quite simple processes when we start to think about it, but can you evaluate your environment and see like what is stressing me out and can you simplify? So things like, I remember because I thought I should, I would go to all the class, all the baby classes and swimming classes, whatever, and it would stress me out like no end. And I now know my child was very, very sensitive, so it was far too much for her. And then I'd wonder why we're completely like starting out for the rest of the day about this one swimming class when I thought it's something to do and I might meet friends and she needs it and we should do it. But it's like, how can you simplify? And one of the main ways to tell your body it's safe is to slow down. Just slow down. And can, even though it's harder to slow down because our nervous systems are comfortable with going fast because it's what we've known and it's what we've taught them, we want to teach them that we're not trying to just survive. We want to try and thrive and be in our regulation, which is going to require slowing down. And I'd say for if you really want things that you can land to ways that you can regulate yourself very simply, you can do things like breath work, which I am a huge fan of. It's one of those things that you can tap into so quickly. And it's the only autonomic nervous system function that we can actually control. So it's just a fancy way of saying, like, your heart beats without you thinking about it, and your breathing is usually naturally just breathing without you thinking about it. But when you start to take control of it, it's like we can go into our motherboard of our main computer and start to say, no, we're safe here, let's slow down. So even something as simple as extending your exhale, taking a slow inhale through your nose, and then taking an extended exhale like you're blowing out through a straw. Even a few rounds of that can be so effective. And even just breathing before you react. So, if your kid's driving you absolutely mental, your normal response is like to fight or flight and be like, yeah. But can you pause? Can you breathe? And then they see you doing that. And we're teaching our kids how to regulate themselves as well. And so breath work is a huge one. Even grounding yourself in, it sounds like a bit of an airy fairy thing, but it's literally just, feeling, going outside, feeling the air on your skin, taking a moment, placing your hand on your heart and just feeling and, feeling that sense of aliveness that I am here now. I can feel, the wind on my face. I can hear, distant, I don't know, birds, whatever it is, drills, whatever it is. It's just coming aware and becoming present. So you're not getting yourself wrapped up in the stories of other, being in another place and going a million miles a minute. And things like movement, I know you agree, Jim, it's like it doesn't have to be like what we said, it's not the hour yoga classes anymore, but maybe it's literally just breathing, stretching. I know that when I do it, my kid wants to join in. Obviously, it's not as relaxing as it possibly could be, but things like putting your legs up against the wall, putting your bum really close to the wall, and putting your legs up for just even a minute. And my little one does it with me, and it's just like it's a way you kind of teach them, isn't it? Or dancing, like a little dance party. It's always a way to shift the mood. So there is a lot of things we can do within our control. And the thing is, a lot of the time, it doesn't take a long time. Even if you did 2 to 3 minutes of breathing practices, it's really, really effective, and you'll feel so different. And then you can go into your next kind of, I don't know, chapter of the day, feeling just a little bit more aligned, a bit more connected and grounded, and like you're coming, all of that is always going to equate to better decisions, feeling more you in yourself. Because I think that's the biggest part of mums is that we get so lost in our sense of self as well. So it's like about grounding back to who we really are, what we really want, because it's very, very easy to get swept under the carpet with motherhood and just go with what you think everybody else, should do.
Completely. I talk about this so much because it's so true. It's so easy just to go through the days and to just be influenced by what everyone else is doing. And just that little step back, that little time to just, as you say, reflect and just ask what it is that you want. What do you need? Where, how do you want to move through your days? And that can make just that little question asking yourself, checking in with yourself maybe 2 or 3 times a day can be so powerful, can't it?
And even bringing in your kids, like if you want, you don't have to go to the crazy, wacky, soft place. You could go for a walk because you like being in nature and it brings you more peace and might probably bring them more peace as well. There's ways you can do it, but also having that boundary and saying, do you know what? Mummy is going to have this half an hour whilst daddy comes back and takes the kid, or having these times ironed out so that it becomes a habit. Because if you don't do that and you don't convey your needs to someone else, you kind of end up suppressing all these emotions, which is what ends up getting us to the point where we get burnt out. And it's like your anger is telling you that a boundary has been crossed. Your sadness is telling you that needs have not been met. And it's like if you're not letting them move through you, if you're not addressing that and telling someone what you need, then it's very hard to get help.
Yeah, absolutely. We were chatting about this before we came on a bit as well. But like the self-compassion piece as well, is that why we feel a lot of mums struggle to make that time for themselves? We can be so hard on ourselves during this time, can't we?
Exactly. It's really sad because we would never treat our kids that way. We would never treat our partners that way. And it really comes from this place of unworthiness, and it's not our fault. All of this stuff I'm chatting about, the nervous system, none of it is your fault. It's just the condition, the society we've been brought up, it's the conditioning that we've been brought into. There's going to be so many things that are influencing what is showing up for you in your nervous system. And like I said, some of these things we can control and some of these things we can't. But if we get to the point where we're getting regulated more often, then we're going to start feeling better within ourselves. We find that confidence, we find that kind of self-worth piece. And then things will start falling a bit more into the puzzle for us.
Absolutely. Yeah, completely agree. Chatting about your move to Bali, because I love, as I say, I love following you. I love your posts. Yeah, they're so lovely. You've obviously made a huge life shift in the last year or so. Tell us a bit more about that and how that has benefited you as a mom and also your family as well, because that's, as we say, this feeds into the rest of the people around us as well, doesn't it? Especially those closest to us. So how, yeah, tell us about it.
Okay. First of all, you don't have to move to Bali to be able to be more regulated more often and feel like you're balanced. Just putting that one out there. But yeah, it's been a huge shift for us because honestly, the reason why I'm teaching and so passionate about what I'm teaching is because I went through hell when I was became a mom, and I was burnt out, and my husband was burnt out at the same time. And he was doing the corporate rat race for 20 years. And literally just got to the point of breaking. And only a year before that, I had gone through this crazy transition into motherhood, as everybody else knows who's listening to this. And by the time my little girl was a year or 18 months, I was in really severe postnatal depression. Like I was a mess. And I was at the point where I was like, I don't want to go on. This is not the life I want. And it was because of this whole suppressing everything inside. I should be this. I need to tick these boxes. And it's been, I think, bubbling at the Bali thing has bubbled under the surface for a while. And I think that in a really weird roundabout way, this is the most incredible journey that's made us move, because we probably wouldn't have done without having a daughter. But I always was teaching on retreats around the world. Travel was a huge part of my life. And I naively was like, well, the baby can just come along when I do that stuff. And I found, my baby's not blaming her, but it was super sensitive. I didn't have very a big, like many of us, we don't have a village around us anymore. And I just felt so isolated and so alone. And I got to the really dark place, and so did my husband. And we were just like, do you know what? Life is not, this is not life. I don't want to live this life. And it was, obviously heartbreaking because our little girl was sitting there in front of us. But because we were in a state, we were burnt out, she was feeling every single part of that. So she was also a state. And we were just a really unhappy household. And I literally made a list one day of like to stay or to go. And the stay list was very full of like responsibilities. We should be near family. We should be by friends. The thing to do is to buy a mortgage and get a house and live in the suburbs and tick, 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 tick. And I was just like, everything was loaded with guilt, responsibility, shoulds, coulds, whatever. And then I literally had this never-ending list of what Bali could bring us, and it was like freedom and lifestyle and us having more alignment with what we actually really believe in. Like I was spending through the roof to send my kids to a childcare that I hated. I tried three different ones and I didn't like them, and I had no choice, and we were spending crazy money on them. And but us Bali, it's easy to look on the outside and be like, oh my God, it's so lovely because you've just moved to this like paradise island. Like it is, it's not without its problems. We're also very, very far away from everybody we know and love. We've made new friendships here gratefully, but it hasn't come without its problems. There's instability that comes with my husband leaving his corporate job and setting up his self-employed work, and same with my job. And it's been challenging, but honestly, it's been completely life-changing because we have so much more time together. And I'm a quality time type of love person to me. It's really important. But it's one of those things because I remember one of my friends had moved to Bali when I was in my real depths of depression, and I couldn't even look at her stories because there was just so, it felt so far away from where I was at. And so if people are listening into the UK, I don't want to sit here and be like, Bali's the best, like you should just do that. Obviously, if there's something in your in you know telling you in your internal voice that that might be something that you want to do, of course I'm sitting there cheering you along all the way. But it's not to say that everybody wants that. Not everybody wants to move the other side of their families. And there's ways to make it work where you can find balance and you can find your alignment and your you again without having to move to Bali. But it what Bali has done is create the space for us to find more regulation, like a lot more space to find regulation, and for my husband to take a pause from the 24/7 crazy rat race of corporate, and really start to question what's important and what we value the most. And for us, our time as a three is the most important thing,
Yeah, I
and
completely
our
agree.
health,
Yeah,
and our
yeah.
health, because it's so detrimental. If you're living in burnout all the time and your body is in survival all the time, then sooner or later things are going to come a cropper, and I'm going to guess that you're probably not feeling super happy. Not that you'd have to feel pure happy all the time, but I'm guessing that you're probably spending most of your time not feeling in a place of contentment.
Yeah, and I think you don't appreciate how important it is to just live in that content alignment until you're not in it. It's like you kind of take it for granted, I think, when you're living like that, don't you? Unless you've been through something before. But if you're just living this way, it's not until it really hits you that like this is not what I want. And then it's that taking that step back, isn't it? Because as you said, it's not moving to Bali for everybody. Of course, living in alignment means something different to each and every one of us. But as you say, if you're noticing those signs, it doesn't feel right. You've got to take control, haven't you? You can't ignore it. You can't just keep powering through because that's not going to help in the long run, is it?
No, but also that's what your nervous system's comfort is, and that's the thing where it gets a little bit messy with this nervous system thing, is that we've taught our we I mean I we've all grown up in society where it's very fast paced. The norm is to be very busy. The norm is to work, 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 and that's the rhythm. And if you've just grown up in that rhythm, that's what feels normal to you. Much like if you've grown up in a really loud household, like that feels very normal to you. So it takes an awful lot to shift into this space where you're going slower, things are feeling a bit quieter, and it will bring up so much in you. But that's what the beauty of babies are as well, is that you just realize what's important and you start to question. And I'm so grateful for Indy because she's brought me so much more alignment, because I've realized in the past I was just ignoring it and trying to belong. And we always felt like we were swimming up the different direction of everybody else, just being like these weird kind of outliers that are always doing things a bit different and going different places or whatever. And now we feel like we belong. We're swimming in our little stream with
Yay.
everybody else, and it's like, yeah, it's this it's about that finding that kind of belonging, and your authenticity is a huge, huge thing. And I think that's the biggest thing we struggle with as moms, is that you go from having a certain belonging, perhaps with other friends that don't have kids, or for me, it was my yoga spaces or the rest of it. And then it all kind of switched up COVID and pregnancy and then baby. And it's just such a like crazy shift that, yeah, you really have to find yourself again and find your people and find your belonging.
Completely. If someone listening now is is listening, they're thinking, this is definitely me. I'm burned out, or I'm in this really dysregulated state. Surely I'm feeling the signs. What's one thing you would suggest? What's the first step that they should take to taking that control back to feeling good?
Slow down. Just slow down. And I think breath work, like I said, can be a really, really easy route to start to bring your body back to safety. And it can literally be a 2 or 3 minute practice, even if you sat and breathe in through your nose and out through your nose for 4 and 4 counts or 5 and 5 counts, whichever feels more comfortable to you. I would guarantee you'd feel better after the 3 minutes. And slowly, you'd want to start bringing more of those sorts of rituals into your life. You'd start to look in terms of your environment and all the things that we can look at what are influencing your nervous system. But yeah, for the mom that just needs to know right now, what can I do? Just 5 minutes of breathing, getting outside, slowing down. Prioritize starting to set boundaries to your time and saying that, my worth is important, my time is important, my needs are important, I matter.
Yeah,
It's a big step.
absolutely. Definitely. I want to do our quick fire questions just to finish this chat. I love these. What do you wish you could tell every mum on the planet?
You are enough.
Yeah, absolutely. What's one small thing you do every day that makes a big difference in your life?
I try to breathe before I react.
Lovely, great advice. Yeah. What's your favorite way to recharge when motherhood or life feels overwhelming?
I have to get out in nature or move. However,
Amen.
you need to do that. However, it works for you. Some people love Pilates. I'm like so I just need to get in the ocean and swim or
Yeah.
surf. That's my thing.
Love that. Yeah. Connect with nature. Absolutely. Oh, I've loved this chat so much, Kim. If anyone listening wants to work with you, find out more about you, tell us now how we can work with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. So if you want to connect with me, the most straightforward one is Instagram. I'm at Kim Hartwell with a HARTWELL. You can access my free rebirth ritual guide. You can literally just send me a message saying rebirth and I can send you there's three rituals I'm giving you just to like what you just said, these kind of things that we can do that don't feel overwhelming, that can just be slotted into little parts of your day to start you starting to center back to yourself and feeling your grounding. And also if they wanted to go a little bit deeper, then I've got more one-to-one mentorship available, which I call my aligned and alive mentorship. And we talk about much more personalized way of going deep on your nervous system research. And then starting to build that alignment and finding that kind of self-trust again to be able to really kind of get to the point where you're feeling a life where you're a bit more balanced. The last thing I've got is which is like kind of my signature course, is called Burnout to Balance Mama, and it's a 7-day nervous system reset course. It's really short, like it's only like 10 minute videos a day, and within that we talk about all the different guides to how to work around your nervous system and get you into a bit more of a balanced state more often and feeling alive again and connected to you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I've loved this chat so much. Such valuable, such important work for us mums to do. So thank you so much for sharing this
Thank you
today.
so much for having me.
Thank you for what you're creating.
Thanks for
And
listening, everyone.
yeah, thank you all. See you again next
Take
week.
care.
Bye.
Bye.